7, please.
From the county executive requesting authorization to amend Section 17 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances as it pertains to vacation and sick allowance benefits for non-represented employees. On June 23rd, at the full county board meeting, this item was referred back to committee.
Thank you very much. Mr. Aldrich.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm just here to see if there's any questions in terms of the county exec's intent associated with what's before you. You know, this is something that is a priority for the county exec in terms of trying to bring some of the vacation and sick leave policies of the county kind of more in line with what expectations are in the private sector, and also an opportunity to address some of the you know, significant budget challenges we have in terms of savings that this will provide moving forward. So I'm just here to answer any questions anybody may have.
Thank you very much for coming. Supervisor Schmidt.
I was the one who had the initial questions last month and then on the board floor, and I think it got very confusing. I think this is a very complex issue, more complex than I think most people realize. I mean, you can read and reread this kind of stuff, and the work group and the county exec, and I gave plaudits to that last month as well. You know, there have been a lot of things that have been looked at. You know, the one incident we had to react to, it was kind of an anomaly, but it pointed out some holes in our system. I think we've tied most of those things up with vacation and when it starts, et cetera, et cetera. There are about five or six other items that the county exec and our work group, we've been spent a long time on this issue, longer than the county exec has and everyone else, just because of the reality of it. It's a difficult issue. Now, trying to stay fiscally conservative and to be, and the county exec I know has tried to, he says he's going to have a balanced budget again too. It's going to be difficult, and we know what's going to happen here. Okay, so I understand we want a cap here. Here's my question, and I'd like the work group to get involved in this too. Maybe Mr. Session could be a spokesman. Mr. Session, I'm going to pick on you, okay? All right. He's nodding, okay. Maybe Mr. Grady, too, because he's the one who wrote it for both the county exec and for the work group, really. He wrote the synopsis of this, okay? Yes, we'd like to cap sick leave. But I don't think we get to the heart of the problem here, and this is my question for maybe Mr. Session, maybe if you can answer, too, Mr. Aldrich, okay? Is that, yeah, we don't want to see abuses in this. We don't want to see people take sick leave who shouldn't be taking sick leave, okay? However, as Candace Owley pointed out to us when she came testifying on this, and I think you looked at some of those comments, is that there are, you know, people have open heart surgery. People have debilitating diseases. People have to take time off, and sometimes it's more than that. I mean, I've been in here for a number of years, and we do fundraisers for people who ran out of sick time. Okay, people in the department, I've been to a bowling party, okay, et cetera. So we miss people in this, okay? And Mr. Session and others, how do we get to the heart? The heart of the problem really is, okay, that people who shouldn't use sick time use it, okay? There's legitimate needs for this sick time, okay? I don't want to take that away from anybody. I don't get sick time, but, you know, I was lucky to be back, but I've had some health issues, too, over the years, okay? I'm afraid many people will, okay, as our bodies break down as time goes on. But it's about the payouts and how the payouts are done. I mean, I know if we're getting to the heart of the issue, okay? Can you follow what I'm trying to say, Mr. Session? I mean, the idea, or Mr. Cady, is Mr. Cady in the crowd, too? Okay. We were having a conversation about this. Mr. Cady, can you help me on this? Because I think it's an important question that I need to have answered. How's that? I'm flipping around to people, but,
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, it sounds like your question pertains to, does the proposed ordinance revision address sick leave payouts?
Yes, I mean, see, cash is an issue here. You know that's a question I don't know if we haven't got to. And okay, I'm going to stop there and not say anything. Okay.
Well, if I could, I think what Supervisor Schmidt. I think the question that you're addressing is in the county exec's proposed ordinance changes. How do we address the notion that there are going to be employees that have legitimate medical needs? that would extend beyond.
And short-term disability was part of the equation I talked
right.
about also. Okay.
Right, and I think that's part of the answer, Supervisor, is the, you know, short-term disability. I mean, the question is, what do we do to provide for those employees that have legitimate medical needs that would extend beyond the six-week limit that the county exec is proposing? And, there is an existing short-term disability policy that the county owns. Not a lot of people use it. And certainly, the county executive is open to trying to determine what changes we may want to make to the coverage associated, the current short-term disability coverage, and whether or not there's an appropriate role for the county, given the tough fiscal conditions, to have some sort of subsidy associated with that short-term disability. And I think that's why the nature of moving forward and looking at putting the provision in place starting January 1st of next year for the cap certainly doesn't prevent a serious discussion moving forward as part of the budget process, and independent of that, of what changes we may want to look at making to the short-term disability insurance to provide for those certain cases. And you also had mentioned the concern about the payout associated with this. And excuse me, one of the numbers that I would point out to the committee is if you look at the last 3 months with the retirements that we've had at the county, and setting aside what we all are concerned about in terms of backdrop payouts, which has clearly gotten the most attention. If you just look at the sick leave and vacation payouts that have happened in the last 3 months, had these provisions that the county exec is offering today been in place previously, we would have saved in excess of $2 million just in sick leave and vacation payouts in the last 3 months. So while there's been fiscal notes associated with this, those fiscal notes are looking at what is the impact this year, next year. And I think the county exec is as you are, all are concerned about what's the impact down the road. And those are the kind of dollar amounts that we're talking about here.
Thank you. Mr. Cates. Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just for some background context, 75% of all the employees in Milwaukee County that are currently working here have been hired since 1994. Those people are not eligible for a cash sick payout. They're eligible to convert their sick time to post-retirement health insurance. So really the pool of employees that are eligible for a cash payout is just limited to those pre-1994 employees. That cash payout has been pretty much dictated by the Champagne decision. And as you know, when this board capped the sick leave in 2002, it basically established that the market, whatever your balance was as of March 15, 2002, you would get 100% cash payout of that, and in addition, up to 400 hours plus 16% for non-reps. If you're a member of AFSCME, it was 25%, 400 hours plus 25%. I'm unfamiliar with these numbers about this saving millions of dollars. That's not true. In fact, it's not borne out by the fiscal notes that were presented to this committee last month. The committee received a fiscal note that said if you capped it at the county executive's proposal, the full year savings was $50,000. So if going forward there would be some savings, the employee benefits work group wrestled with this issue for the point that we've talked about, the short-term disability policy. And we did some research from other local governments, because as we look around, we looked at the state of Wisconsin. They allow unlimited sick to accumulate, and then at retirement, they match it up to a certain percentage, and then they convert it to post-retirement health insurance credit. The city of Milwaukee was 960 hours. Almost every local government in Wisconsin was at 960 hours or higher, and some had different provisions on payout. And that's really what I think is most important here as we focus, is whether there's the accumulation and using of sick, and then there's the payout of
right.
sick. And I think that's the part, is how
yeah.
do we distinguish between the two so
right.
you can provide a meaningful benefit.
Right.
And also, as we also looked at these other local governments, almost all of them don't offer that subsidized short-term disability policy, because I think they've all come to the same conclusion that I think that we've sort of tentatively reached, and that is it's less expensive just to let people accumulate it. So the employee benefits work group was considering proposing the 960 hours, but we wanted to look at that short-term disability issue further. And I think that gave people some concerns that there wasn't going to be any cap. But again, moving forward, this committee could decide that they'd like to have a cap, whether it be 240 hours, 960, or whatever, but you could also just make something that's not on the table and just say you cap whatever you're at right now as far as the purpose of payout, whether it's be for, the cash. You can't accumulate any more for that towards the cash or the post-retirement health insurance credits. So you could also get at it, which would save additional fiscal. Just one last thing. The cap at 960 hours has a fiscal savings of approximately $10,000 per year as opposed to the $50,000 a year. We're talking $40,000 for a benefit that affects every single county worker. One of the concerns we had with a lower cap of 240, obviously with the illnesses that occur, I think Supervisor Schmidt, you pointed that out, but we'd be the only government in the state of Wisconsin without a paid maternity leave option, which you have to weigh that too as you look at that. For some people who do try and bank that time so that they can have a paid maternity leave, that one I don't believe be covered under this other short-term disability policy that we saw. So those are the observations we had, but it's up to you how you want to proceed and direct our work.
Thank you, Mr. Cady. Mr. Hare, do you have something that you'd like to add?
Just wanted to point out that the Department of Water was tasked in 2011 with the assignment of doing a compensation study, which hopefully will shed some more light on this whole issue of our benefits package. Unfortunately, I made a decision early in this year, because of all the turmoil that we're facing on wages and benefits, to not do that until there was some stable ground underneath our feet. So I've just recently begun that work with outside consultants, and I hope to have something for you this fall in terms of laying out how our benefits and wages compare to both public and private sector employers. I think that what we'll find, just based on my preliminary work, is that people really don't look at sick leave as necessarily disconnected from the whole idea of paying it out in cash. That there are different tiers that can be applied in terms of cash payouts versus accumulation as a form of disability. There is indeed a connection between the premium costs for a disability plan and sick leave balances.
Mm-hmm.
If you can coordinate those two in a way that helps the employer and the employee, I think that's a sweet spot. You want to have your premiums low enough that you can get a good deal if you choose to offer this. I think we have to step back and really make the policy question. Does Milwaukee County as an employer even want to have something that could cover long-term disability or even shorter-term issues like maternity leave? But the pieces are connected, and I think they ought to be presented to you in a way that is connected. You can make this decision today, and we can come back and give you advice. You can change it later, but I would just suggest that you try and look at this more holistically.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Chairman, one more point to add to the responses to Supervisor Schmidt's question. Just put it in the context of the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act as well. The federal leave time allows for up to 12 weeks of time off to address exigent emergency or medical conditions. No. The state authorizes up to 6 weeks for medical conditions. Those run concurrently, but I think with regard to your question about how staff uses the sick time, we need to keep that family and medical perspective in there as well. That's not authorized necessarily to be paid time off, but if you have balances, you're able to use those to satisfy your needs during the family and medical.
Thank you, Mr. Cady. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. My last comment is, because I think this is an important issue and a complex issue, and again, we're holding this whole benefits area, and it seems to me that, and it's gratifying to see the work group work so closely with the county exec and to get an issue like this. I mean, I think we're all trying to be fiscally responsible. We want to make sure that benefits can really help the people who need it the most, which I kind of said before. So we've talked about a hybrid here. We've talked about getting a report back. I have a strong inclination here that this needs to be done during the budget process. To make a decision, say I'm not going to vote for something today, okay? Because I don't think we need to have all the facts. When we have any of these benefit discussions that have long-term consequences, short and long-term consequences, they should be part of the budget process. And the county exec should be bringing us and the work group should look at, and then, you know, at Mr. Katie and Mr. Session, we do the budget ourselves and we have to look at it, then we have all the information we need. There's some unanswered questions here. There's a hybrid to do to work the short term in. I'd like to see that. And let's do all these things right. Let's, you know, I don't know, we have to make these decisions in August when they have, and nothing really has to be, I think can really be done until probably January of 2012 anyway. You know, if you want to cap the 240, I suppose it wouldn't, you know, we could change it then, I suppose we found out it wasn't the right thing, but why not do it the right way? Why not make all this, where we're in this situation now, looking at different kinds of benefits and stuff we'll hear about today, okay, that we really have to take a look at. You know, what are the repercussions? How is it going to be paid for? How are we going to work it? Okay, how is it going to be in the budget? Department's going to absorb all this? These kinds of things, and what Mr. Harry was talking about. We got the work group. They've looked at this. Let's finish our work on this is my strong feeling on it. Let's have the work group and the county exec sit down again and hash this out. I mean, you know, you're very close on all these other things we've talked that I think have been real pluses, and I know how many people know how much money we've really been saving and loopholes that we've been closing. And we tried to do that back in 2002, but when we heard the repercussions of what the sick leave would mean, we took it away from all non-reps right away because it was excessive. And we worked on this, so we haven't forgotten about it. And so I want to see this job completed. And all the benefits should be looked at together, and we should get a report together, and we should be working on this and voting on it in the budget. That's my strong feeling, and thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Supervisor. Mr. Eldridge.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, you know, certainly I think the county exec would acknowledge that, you know, looking at this within the context of the short-term disability and even overall compensation study of where county employees are compared to those in the public and private sector is appropriate. I think he felt strongly that not to lose the opportunity to be able to, you know, help guide that process by starting with putting a limit in place. I think that's why he feels strongly that we should move forward with the limit, which is you know, we've heard comparison numbers in terms of other government agencies. Certainly, when you start looking at the private sector, the limit level that the county exec is proposing is generous in comparison. Many private employers have moved more towards less of a distinction between sick leave and vacation times, and just gone to personal time off and at yearly limits that are much less than what the county exec is proposing. So he certainly thought this was an opportunity to be able to, you know, set the tone in terms of putting the limit in place. He acknowledges that there's, you know, additional study that should be done in terms of how short-term disability insurance might relate to that. But I know that he does. His preference would be to move forward in the manner in which he's suggested and then take the opportunity to work with the board and the employee benefits work group to figure out you know, what are the other changes that we could consider as part of that.
Thank you. Mr.
Harris. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Aldridge touched on a point I was going to make that we don't really have a lot of good data on the private sector yet, but we do understand that there is a much more common theme in some sectors of having personal time off balance as opposed to vacation. Again, to us, it's a matter of looking at it holistically, putting together a package that you can accept or reject or modify in terms of our compensation plan going forward. And we will have, hopefully, you know, some real data about the private community that in the Milwaukee area and how they compensate their employees.
Thank you. We do have an amendment. Did you want to?
Mr. Chair, thank
you. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you. Just to recap how this process went down for everybody. Last cycle, we had two resolutions before us, the county exec's original proposal and the work group's proposal or recommendation to us. The work group's recommendation essentially tweaked formulas and a number of the ways that essentially taking the same issues but made some specific recommendations on implementing them in a different way, in a way that they thought was better. This committee substituted the work group's resolution as the resolution that we're going to work on. The work group's resolution did not take up the issue of the cap. And yet it seemed at the time to be the broad consensus of this committee that we wanted that element addressed. And in fact there was some effort to do that on the spot, and but then we agreed that we would wait to do that till we could have it written up and in front of us. And so Corp Counsel prepared the amendment that I offered. The amendment that I offered on the board floor. So I'm not sure where people, obviously everyone has their right to rethink something. But it seems to me that the amendment, which effectively restores the cap to it's the hybrid between what the county exec's original proposal and the work group report. It takes the best of both, and it moves us forward. It doesn't preclude us from moving forward on the short-term disability issue, and in fact, that's a sort of a parallel commitment of the work group, was that they would continue to pursue that, but the county exec is committed to pursue that as well. I don't understand why we can't move forward on the cap, and to do this now, and to take up the sick leave. I'm sorry, take up the short-term disability issue as soon as we have that information in front of us. I don't see them competing or exclusive. That there's a reason that we would need to wait on that. I think this focus on what's described as a small percentage of people getting cash payout is sort of a disservice to the issue, because whether you're getting a cash payout or whether you're getting health benefit, whether it's being converted to health benefit payout, it's still cash cost to the county. I mean, we're still paying. Whether the individual is getting cash or they're getting benefit, there's a cost. And so that seems to be a sort of a confusing distraction in this whole thing. And I would just say, on the merits of the idea of what's the proper way to insure yourself against health catastrophe, it is not that you over years and years accumulate weeks, months of sick time. The best way to ensure that everyone has some protection against such catastrophe would be change to a short-term disability policy that would cover everyone, because you don't know when catastrophe strikes, so that employee who's in their first year of employment is insured against that just as well as that person in their 25th year of employment, and that's a more cost-effective and beneficial way to help everyone. So I do move amendment number one to the substitute.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be curious as to what the county executive's response is to this amendment. I know that you all have put a lot of time into this. What Supervisor Lipscomb is proposing is not necessarily brand new, but as the county executive's representative, what would he say about this?
Well, thank you, Supervisor Borkowski. I think the county exec appreciates Supervisor Lipscomb's work on this issue and sees this as a positive measure in terms of moving forward. I think the county exec is interested in, as I mentioned before, moving forward as soon as possible with a cap. I think what Supervisor Lipscomb has put forward in the amendment says let's establish that cap starting in January of next year. That gives the time for the work group to address some of the other legitimate concerns that have been raised about what changes we may want to consider with the short-term disability. So the county exec would certainly support Supervisor Lipscomb's amendment as a compromise way to move forward and get a limit in place and still address some of the other questions that have been raised.
Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Schwartz.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Can I make one minor clarification? I believe that the only change to the amendment from last cycle is the addition of AFSCME to the listing in paragraph 10.
Thank you. Just want to be clear about that. Thank you very much. Supervisor Schmidt.
Yeah, I think we're doing something that maybe we're going to do anyway, but the only difference I thought the work group, and work group can correct me again, between what the county exec and work group and all the other issues that we talked about, and this was the particular one now, was that the work group did not at this time recommend a definite number like 240. We've looked at different numbers. Now, we're talking about in the interim, I know we can do this short. So, you know what, the amendment is fine in the sense that, you know, as long as I get a commitment, which I think I've heard from both the county executive's representative and from the work group, that we're going to look at this issue. If we look at short term, if we do it during the budget process, you know, this can be changing. It's not going to take effect till January now anyway, and that's what I was talking about. I wanted time to, so we're going to have the discussion anyway during, we're going to have it during the budget. You're going to have to come back with us, working with the work group to say, what is a short-term disability? Is this work? Is this a number that we really will save us the money it's intended to? It's always great to look at these and say, oh, yeah, so say, well, will it save us money? In the long term, will it save us money? I'm interested always in that question, okay, short-term and long-term. So, you know, I don't know if I'm going to vote for it necessarily, but I don't think it does any harm. I think it just keeps the discussion going, which I guess I'm in favor of. And is that my understanding from both parties, that this is what we're going to have to look at the budget, we're going to have to make some changes probably anyway, and then really come to a conclusion if 240 is the magic number or not?
I think, Supervisor Schmidt, I think that's accurate, but I would clarify, you know, that the county exec's position and Supervisor Lipscomb's amendment does put in that authorize that cap of 6 weeks, 240 hours, starting January of next year. That still gives the time within the budget
process between
now and then to try to figure out how to address it. The other thing that I would just mention is because you accurately point out, Supervisor, that we're all concerned about the costs associated with this, and I wanted to make sure that people understood the county exec's position in terms of potential savings associated with this. I think there was some question about not being familiar with some of the numbers that I was mentioning, and I want to make sure that people have an understanding of that. You know, we went and looked back at the last 3 months worth of retirements in the county, and certainly we've had more in the last 3 months than typical time period. But if you look at the sick leave and vacation payouts that were paid out to that group of retirees, and assume that these limits had been in place for those folks, you know, that's where we're talking about $2 million less would have been paid out to that group during that 3 month time period. That makes an assumption in terms of, you know, these caps being put in place, and certainly they would have been put in place some time ago for that to have the impact. But looking long term at the fiscal issues that we're facing, that's certainly not an insignificant number.
Thank you, Mr. Aldridge.
Thank you,
Mr. Hare.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to prolong this, but it's a but-for world. If we had no cash payout for sick leave accumulation, people would not have accumulated sick leave. We would have paid it as they earned it or used it throughout their career. I understand the math. I understand the concern. The work group understands the concern, but I think we need to get our hands around the real facts, the real numbers, and give you some options.
Supervisor Seasons.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question to you and maybe staff can answer is, does our accounting system and record-keeping system keep track of the actual hours and the actual time earned, or does it just assume that an employee at discharge, for example, never collected during their entire career, so we're just going to calculate so many days and hours for an entire career?
The system tracks the details.
we'll just give you Mr. Mansky.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Supervisor. The system tracks presently your sick leave accrued hours, and it has always accrued what the actual hours are.
and it for most employees it will add 3.7 hours each pay period to their balance. It will take off of their balance for time used, such as for being sick, for appointments, other types of things. So when an employee leaves, if they leave for any reason except, let's say, for retirement, we'll have a record within the system of what their balances were at that time. So when they return to the county, then we can restore the balances based upon where they left when they leave. So.
I wanted to say thank you to
the chairman and staff here, Mr. Mansky, for that, because unfortunately, as you go out in the community, there's always rumors flying around, and some of those were the exact statement in the question that I worded as such today. This gets on the record, and I'm sure we've discussed it previously, that we do keep those records, and we do have that, and there's a falsity in the community, unfortunately, where some people denigrate the county, denigrate our county staff for taking and ripping off the system. So I appreciate the opportunity to add that to the record for today with your help, Mr. Mansky, and the chairman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion before us on the amendment proposed by Supervisor Lipscomb. There's a no further discussion of a vote on the amendment.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Cesars?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Haas?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. The amendment is approved.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the item as amended.
Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, we'll have a vote on the resolution as amended.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Cesars?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Haas?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. The motion is approved.
Mr. Aldridge, thank you for coming
thank
down.
You.
We appreciate the county executive's initiative on this issue from the beginning and look forward to you and your staff working with the Employee Benefits Work Group.